WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the further way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash Andy Matt Sorokin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. Matt, thank you for 84 months. It's weird. It says resubscribe for 58 months, but subscribe for 84. We'll leave the 84. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lids Ward, HelloWildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WCLive to interact with us live here tonight, because we have things to talk about in the world of sports and entertainment. Because, why not? I don't know, that's what the activities feed says, Matt. And I was confused. I wish I understood it sometimes, but anyway, thanks for 84 months. But yeah, we have Saturday night's main event housing to talk about later in the program too.
That's right, but I say we jump right into the news, brought to our friends over at MBGFilms.com/MBG1211. This is weird. I don't know how I feel about this, but WWE is getting into micro dramas with real short collaboration.
What is a micro drama?
So WWE is bringing its theatrics in the ring. I don't want to turn off my ad blocker, god damn it. Anyway, WWE's bringing its theatrics in the ring to vertical dramas, partnering with major verticals company Real Short on an original live-action micro-drama. I turned off my fucking ad blocker!
The partnership will pair WWE superstars with two well-known vertical actors for a story-wise... A story whose details are super under wraps. The Hollywood Reporter has learned WWE superstars will appear in the vertical, include Scottish wrestlers Drew McIntyre and Joe Hendry, as well as SmackDown star Jacob Fatu, Raw star, with others promised to materialize in the drama as well. The wrestlers will appear alongside season's micro-drama stars Mark Herman and Chase Mattson. By bringing WWE superstars into a real shot cinematic world, we are creating a new storytelling experience for WWE Universe while reaching a fresh audience with premium content on Real Short's innovative platform, says WWE's head of original content and development, Ben Hauser, said in a statement. The drama is scheduled to start filming next month with a premiere date slated for the fall.
Are these like cheesy romance things? Is that what these are? Okay. Oh my god. Oh my god, it is. Oh my god, it is. Okay, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, because my algorithm is fucked up, I get ads for these, like, micro mini drama. It's not Love in Deep Space. It's not that. It's close. It goes beyond Love in Deep Space. They actually be banging in these. So, like, and a lot of them are actually AI generated, too. Which is even worse. But like, I get these ads for them that pop up on my Facebook and my Instagram. I don't know how I fell into that algorithm. I think it is because of Love in Deep Space. But they like put snippets, and it's like these 10-minute ads where you can watch like 10 minutes of this thing. And it's the same thing like remixed over and over again with like different parts of the thing. I don't watch AI porn. Shut up. Anyway, so like, I get these on Facebook. Right? So it's like when you're describing it and I'm sitting here looking at it, I'm like, wait, I think I know what this is. And I hate it. I hate so much. Is that a fucking Risley ripoff? I'm on their website, in case you haven't figured that out. How do they fall into this? How did this start? I have so many questions now. Like, what? What?
A microdrama is a type of short internet series that started in China. These series are in vertical format and are designed to be on smartphones. There are between 20 and 100 episodes in each series. Each episode is very short, usually about 1 to 2 minutes in length, while the duration of a single episode may range from 1 to 6 minutes. Episodes longer than 3 minutes are relatively rare. Apparently, microdramas are very popular in China. The industry is worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. Okay, let me explain it because I am on their website. So, like, the way that this started for me was it started with the Chinese microdramas, and what they do is they would translate them and like they would dub them in English. So it's like they're you could tell it's dubbed. And yeah, it just kind of spiraled from there. And I guess they eventually got like, because they've been shooting stuff out in Utah, like for some of this. And the only reason I know this is they use the train from Utah, and I recognized it, and I was like, I think I know exactly where that train stop is. But like they were shooting out there, and they were using American actors, and then now they've fallen into AI. I like, it's not all like romance stuff. There's like non-romance stuff on here, but like a lot of it was or is romance. I'm just saying.
So enjoy the premium content that's coming from their collaboration with Real Short.
Is that really shitty when I was watching on here? I'm just curious. Oh god, there's like 17 pages of it. Oh Jesus. Okay. Anyway, movie.
Speaking of premium content.
So Club WWE details have been announced. So as a founding member, which is coming this Friday, and this is your last chance to secure your spot before the doors open, guys. So remember that. So tonight is the night. Tomorrow is the day. Like, it's not that. Stop it. And the one I was watching wasn't AI. It was actual peoples. And they weren't doing that. Anyways, tonight is the last night. Tomorrow, I think it starts. It officially opens. So Club WWE is the ultimate WWE insider membership built for fans who want more. Here's everything included, all for just $99 a year. That's $8.25 $5 per month, guys, when you sign up for a year. You get exclusive content. You go deeper with backstage moments, superstar shows and interview exclusives, and extended wrestling content you can't find anywhere else. You get exclusive ticket and presale access, flash discounts, and members-only live events benefits on-site like dedicated entrances and lounges. You get your own shop, so you get to get gear that nobody else can buy, member-only colorways, limited edition capsule collections, and collaboration pieces designed exclusively for Club WWE. This includes John Cena's Never 17 collection, plus flash discounts available only to members. You get your own online community forum, everybody. Message boards are back, where you get live chats during events, superstar AMAs, and watch-alongs. And best of all, you get to earn credits to redeem prizes. This is just the start. Club WWE membership is built to grow, and founding members will be along for all of it.
So, my favorite thing is that it's $99 a year.
Uh-huh.
There's no monthly plan.
They want that $100.
They want your money up front for membership benefits.
I feel like they learned from the network that monthly subscription, they don't want to do the monthly subscription. They're going to do the yearly. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say this. There is nothing here that justifies $99 a year. There's literally nothing, unless your discounts that you're getting equate out to about $100. Like, if they're doing that steep of a discount on ticketing and merchandise where you're, over the course of 12 months, going to earn that $100 back, which I very much doubt they're doing, it's not worth it. There's nothing here that makes me go, ooh, I want to pay $100 for this, you know?
Yeah, the company's not as hot as it was a year ago, where you probably could have got people hooked for this.
I don't even think you could have gotten it a year ago.
But you could have with the right talent that were peaking at the time. See some of the hottest things with Cody Rhodes and John Cena on the road and stuff like that. You would have seen a lot more behind the scenes stuff.
But even that's not worth $100. I'm sorry.
But if you go with the behind the scenes footage, and if you're a guy or a girl who wants to go sit front row, you could justify it because you're saving a little bit of money on the discount. Because if you can afford front row, you can afford this. And that's where you can get your discount, and it's where you can save your money. But now it's in a space where people are trying to save money and not overspend money. Things like this do not meet the mark for the economy that we're living in today.
No, absolutely not. No.
But if you got the extra money and want to spend $100, by all means, spend your $100.
I wonder... I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this where it's not just bitchy. And I don't really know, so I'm going to have to say it. When ticket prices are as high as they are, you're already milking people for a lot of money. Merch prices are ridiculously expensive as well. I don't know if you've taken a look at how expensive their merchandise is lately, but it's stupidly expensive.
I mean, that's like, across the board with Fanatics. It's all stupidly expensive.
Oh, I know, but it's just with plus the ticket prices, like, it's just insane. Like, you're already milking people for a lot of money. And then on top of that, you've changed it. You've changed your PLE model, where for a while, it's like for several years, you know, you had a low cost on Peacock, or you got it free for a lot of people. So you weren't paying for PLE. So it's like you could justify it. Almost, because it's like, oh, hey, you know, I'm saving the cost of the PLEs because I don't have to pay for the network anymore. I don't have to pay for Peacock. So I'm essentially getting those for free. And now that's not the case because the PLEs are on ESPN. And if you don't get it in your cable plan, then you have to pay $30 a month for ESPN. And then you're also having to pay for Netflix, which is not cheap, to watch Raw. And it's like you get SmackDown on broadcast, but like just the amount of money that it costs, the investment that it's costing to watch WWE is almost too much. And then you're going to throw another $100 on top of it. Like, I know they are not taking all that money. Okay, I understand that. But like, it's, you know, you're paying anywhere from what, 10 bucks to 30, 40 bucks for Netflix, depending on your subscription plan. You know, you have to pay $30 for ESPN. Then on top of that, you have ticket prices, which starting base price is over $100 in some cases for tickets. Like, I haven't looked at Saturday night's main event that's coming to Atlanta because I'm just not going to pay the money. I already know that.
So there's no point in me even like trying to go. Like, and then on top of it, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to give you really exclusive discounts if you pay us $100. And at most, it's going to be probably 20%, maybe 30% off of ticket prices.
I would say 10%. They're not like, going 30%. They go 10%.
I mean, it depends on how much you're going and like how they want to rate people in. But like, they're trying to like, to Milliman's point, milk people for anything to unload the debt. And I understand that, but there's a breaking point, right? And it's like, this is too much. You're asking too much. And the benefit of this for what you're charging for it doesn't balance at all. Like, if you expect me to pay $100 a month in this economy, or $100 a year in this economy, then I better get like more than just what you're putting out there. Because weren't there supposed to be like meet and greets and stuff like that, like online meet and greets?
That's it. You read that.
Did I?
Mm-hmm. The AMAs and stuff, watch parties, that sort of thing.
I don't know.
We'll see how it plays out. Well, I don't expect them to. They have lowered prices. The summer live events are relatively on the cheaper end from what they were before. It's not TV prices, because TV prices are the premium event. But live event prices for the house shows have gone down a little bit. They're still expensive, but they've gone down. And some of the pricing is a little bit more. It's not as high as WrestleMania. WrestleMania kind of was the tipping point for a lot of it. But again, we say all this. There are some buildings doing 8,000, some buildings doing 6,000, but Monday night they did 13. So the bubble hasn't fully burst it yet on pricing.
I have seen them, like, I'll get emails where I see more and more discount codes. Like, they are, I think it was for 4th of July that they did a sale on tickets.
For summer, for 250.
For
America 250.
And I don't remember them doing that in the past. So that is something new that they're doing. And I think that's their acknowledgement that, yes, we understand, but we're not going to necessarily bring it down. I don't know.
We'll see.
If you're into that kind of thing, like if you want to do it, if you want to pay your money for it, go off. Right? Like, do the thing. I won't stop you. But if you're on the fence, or you're like me and you just aren't interested, don't do the thing. That's the best I can tell you on that. But hey, if you do the thing, maybe you'll get discounts on tickets to like Survivor Series, which is being held at Daikin Park in Houston, Texas on Saturday, November 28th.
The week after Thanksgiving, or the Saturday after Thanksgiving. This is the former Minute Maid Park, no longer sponsored by Minute Maid. It's where the Astros play. It's a cool stadium. I think they've been there for the Rumble or something before.
I think they have too, yeah.
It'll be fun.
It'll definitely be interesting. So we'll have to see how that goes. And they've also announced that Worlds Collide will be on Saturday, September 26th in Chicago. Wrestling in Chicago. Groundbreaking.
So... did you know the story about this one, right?
No. Wait, there's tea? Do tell.
So what do you remember what we announced last week on this show?
No.
AEW presents All Out Live in Chicago.
That's why that feels familiar. I knew it was something like that.
Do you remember what date it was?
Oh, God. It's that weekend, isn't it?
It's Saturday, September 26th in Chicago at the Allstate Arena.
Look, guys. Guys, I need you to learn how to coordinate dates.
Oh, they are coordinated on purpose, this one. Up against each other. All Out versus Worlds Collide.
In the same city. On the same day.
Yep.
Good luck, everybody. Godspeed. In happy news, Baron Corbin is back with WWE. He has re-signed.
Happy Corbin is back. Not actually Happy Corbin, but yes, Baron Corbin returned to SmackDown. Not in what everyone thought it was going to be his role. He appeared on SmackDown attacking Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, and is going after the United States Championship. The Nomad, Baron Corbin. No, it wasn't what people thought. They thought he was going to be the Danhausen's big creation thing. And clearly he's not.
No.
So, we'll see what Danhausen invents at some point. If anything ever comes of it. But yeah, Baron Corbin's back. He denied it for a while that he was returning, but everyone kind of knew the tea leaves were there. He's another guy from that era that's coming back to the company. As we saw on Monday, they teased someone else who will be appearing on August 3rd, who's 7 foot tall. And you know, you can't teach that unless you put that person under a learning tree and then that gimmick fails. Ding.
I mean, if it's bad instruction, what are you supposed to do? You know, it's just, it is what it is, right?
But you could never go wrong by listening to Jericho.
Right. Anyway, moving on. to talk about AEW Full Gear will be held on Saturday, November 14th at the Mortgage Matchup Center in Phoenix, Arizona. Tickets will be on sale shortly, if not already.
Go, Brent, go.
Be our on-site correspondent, Brent. He's not here, so he can't say no. So he automatically says yes if he's not here. That's how that works. He agrees. He's going. We've decided it for him.
It's a verbal confirmation that it's happening. As he yells at us in 3, 2, now he's spray hunting. So anyway, moving on.
Oh, he's spray hunting. Oh, so he's super distracted. What else can we commit into while we're here? Because he's distracted. Let's see. All Elite Wrestling and Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling today announced that a new weekly program, MLP Mayhem, will begin streaming for free in the United States and more than 100 countries around the world, exclusively on myAEW.com's digital platform, beginning this Thursday, July 16th. So today in Canada, MLP Mayhem will air exclusively on TSN, beginning with the series premiere yesterday at midnight and 9 p.m. Pacific time. Filmed before passionate live audiences, MLP Mayhem features championship caliber competition with many of the biggest names in professional wrestling today. The series showcases Canada's elite, such as Josh Alexander, Stu Grayson, and Giselle Shaw, alongside internationally recognized stars from AEW, TNA Wrestling, NJPW, CMLL, and promotions from around the world, reflecting Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling's commitment to presenting world-class wrestling without borders. MLP Mayhem's broadcast team features renowned combat sports announcer Mauro Ranallo, let's go, alongside longtime AEW manager and analyst Don Callis.
Great to have content on myAEW.com.
So congratulations to everybody involved with that.
Yeah, hope so
y'all enjoy.
That's Scott D'Amore's promotion up in Canada, so new content will be good.
So, you know, go watch. Enjoy. It's live. It's officially live. Go, 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 go after the show. And I guess this is happy news? It's happy news for them. The Dark Order, Evil Uno, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds have all signed new contracts with AEW.
And will never appear on AEW. But hey, they're signed to more. They're going to be AEW and ROH talent. So I feel like this is just a way to keep Harper's legacy going. Just Brody Lee's legacy going. Just and giving something for Brody Jr. to join into in a few years. Nothing against them. They haven't pushed this talent in a hot minute. So that's just what this one seems to me. Which there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how I read it.
Is it wrong that I hope they don't do that to Brody Jr.?
What do you mean?
That they don't like make him the carrier of, like, basically he doesn't debut like carrying his father's legacy. Like they let him be his own person. Like that's what they use him for, is to like carry on the legacy of Brody Lee.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that, but I think this is something, because he's technically part of the, he's negative one, he's part of the Dark Order, so he's technically I know,
but the Dark Order hasn't been a thing in like a hot minute.
I understand this. I am not saying it's the right, I don't know. I could be completely off with why they resigned them. Maybe they're uber talented and doing great numbers for Ring of Honor. Or it's other reasons. I don't know. It's just the way this one reads to me. It's the way I read the tea leaves.
But like,
there's nothing wrong. If the check says, if the cat checks cash, there's nothing wrong. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
Here's the thing. We see that so often in wrestling, especially when like the likes of Randy and Ted DiBiase and Curtis Axel and Bray Wyatt and Natty and Charlotte, like when they all kind of debuted and we saw this like influx of next generation stars sort of come into WWE. And it's like they were sort of like forced to carry the family legacy. And in some cases they succeeded, and in a lot of cases they failed, because it's, you're not yourself. You're so-and-so's kid, and you're made to kind of be like the carbon copy of your parent. Like we saw it with Charlotte in particular. She's a really good example of that, where they made her the female Ric Flair. And now we're seeing like Charlotte have that evolution. She's been doing it for a while, where she's evolved out of that character and she's now her own person. Cody was another one. Dustin Rhodes was another one that they had to kind of carry Dusty's legacy for a while. And then Cody tried to break out on his own and it didn't quite work. And then he left and then he came back and now he's the American Nightmare. But and he's his iteration of himself while carrying the family legacy. Like he's a very good example of how you intertwine the two. For Brody Jr., he's incredibly young. And this is not any judgment at all. Okay. I'm just going to say that it just worries me that it's like he's very young. He's kind of growing up to do this. And I worry what's going to happen if he fails and what that's going to do to him, especially if they're like, we're going to bring you into AEW. We're going to have you carry your father's legacy and you're going to like, we're going to do everything for you. And what happens if it fails? What does that do to him? Especially if he's only 18. And that's where my concern is kind of coming from. It's like, I have no problem with him debuting at 18. If that's what he wants to do, as long as he's okay with it, as long as his mom is okay with it, I have no say. But I would rather see AEW take him and make him his own person than have him be like a carbon copy of what his father was in the company. Or if they're going to have him carry that legacy, that he's like, I'm going to do it my way. So he's his own individual person and he can eventually grow and evolve out of that. Because we've seen it so many times where that doesn't happen, or if when they try to grow out of being that carbon copy, it doesn't work and they end up failing. Like we've seen it ungodly amounts of times. So I don't want that to happen to him. That's all I'm saying. That was a weird tangent.
Anyway. I don't have anything to add to that. So anyway.
Anyway, in other news, congratulations to Dakota Kai. She got engaged.
Congrats.
So good for her. And then TNA Wrestling, in not so happy news, has released Sinner and Saint.
Yeah. The roster evolves. Continue.
So there you go. We don't have anything to blame Brett for. So I say we take our break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Saturday night's main event. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein,
and sometimes a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line!
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. Burn
it down! And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Talk to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we're back with Saturday night's main event, which is this Saturday, live from Madison Square Garden.
This should be an interesting show. We got four big matches on the program to talk about, plus an appearance by NBA champion Jalen Brunson, who will have a segment with Roman Reigns because they're all at Fanatics Fest, which just so happens to be in New York. So all the Fanatics executives will be there. All the TKO people will be there. It's going to be a good time at Madison Square Garden. So if you have at Fanatics Fest, just go to see Saturday night's main event where you get to see Danhausen wrestle.
Ooh.
So where do you want to start?
All right. You know what? Since we were talking about it, let's talk about it. Danhausen versus JD McDonagh with a Dominic Mysterio joining in. In a no disqualification match. It's so, JD versus Danhausen.
Yeah,
Dominic is there, but he'll participate.
He'll participate. It's so one, we'll get a lot of shenanigans, a lot of cursing, a lot of pyro and stuff like that. And what it will lead to is probably Danhausen versus Dominic at SummerSlam.
Probably.
Or some sort of tag match. Maybe Danhausen gets a partner. You'll have Miz and Kit Wilson probably at ringside during this. Maybe they finally snap out of it and they imagine this is a WWE. This is an old WWE thing that would be done. Miz and Kit snap out of this whatever thing they're in right now, how they're cursed and whatever, after being electrocuted, where they're just repeating catchphrases and they're zombies. Where they snap out of it and cost Danhausen the match.
They could. Or does he break out the cloning machine again?
I don't think we break out the cloning machine for this one. I don't think you need a cloning machine. It would be funny though. I don't know how they do it. Could do it. I don't know if it's worth the cost. But what's the thing they say about JD? He has a big head. But imagine if he did have the mini housing, all wearing giant heads.
I mean, I can't imagine it would be too terribly expensive.
Well, I mean, probably making getting all the big heads made is more the.
No, that's what I'm saying. It can't be that expensive. Maybe a couple grand.
But it could. It might. Who knows? I don't know how much that stuff costs. But it's how much you want to put into props for this event is more the thing.
I honestly, considering how in they are for Danhausen, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they don't, because it would
be funny if they did something like that.
Because it's everything right now, everything Danhausen touches, everything he's a part of, it turns to gold. He's just over. And he can really do no wrong. And more importantly, they can really do no wrong with him, aside from just take him off TV, which they're not going to do. So I can see them putting the effort to help just push the gimmick that much further.
Yeah.
But who wins?
Danhausen? Yeah. It's easy. Simple. Danhausen. Crowd goes home happy. Are you picking Danhausen?
I think I'm going to have to pick Danhausen. Yeah.
What about the Magic 8-Ball?
Oh, 8-Ball. Let's see. 8-Ball? Danhausen? All signs point to yes.
Wrestler 2.
I believe that's JD.
That is, in fact, JD McDonough. All right, up next we have the ladies tag team championship match. Paige and Brie Bella, your champions, are defending against Fatal Influence, Lainey Reid, and Fallon Henley with JC Jane.
So my money, I'm not a betting man, my money is on Fallon Henley trying to, JC Jane trying to interfere in this one. And she gets stopped by Nikki Bella.
Is Nikki cleared?
I believe she's on the verge of being cleared. And to do a run-in of just pulling someone's leg down, I think she's cleared for that, at least. I expect Nikki involved in the finish of this one to help Paige and Brie retain. And you could set up a six-woman tag for some sort of SmackDown, SummerSlam, who knows it, in the near future. That's just my thoughts.
I can see that happening.
Otherwise, this should be a good match. Brie has sort of been putting her working shoes as she's knocked the rust off after not competing for many years. Paige has kind of found her groove a little bit. To me, I feel like Paige is working a lot smoother in the ring than she was during her AEW run, because it felt like a lot of the AEW run, she was worried about her neck and her body. I think she's finally feeling comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put the belts on them here, the man's. Again, if you don't have to put it on here, but at some point in the next 6 weeks, yes, I would agree with that one. Why I don't think you need to do it here, especially if you have a Nikki return, it gives Fatal Influence a reason to say, but Nikki, and that it will ultimately lead to a scenario where they get the match again and they can get the belts, if that's the plan to put it on them. I think they're enjoying having Brie and Paige run it. It's WWE. Cody showed up on SmackDown and said, say when, and got his title match. Rollins goes, the only thing you can't do is beat me, so give me title. I mean, it's yeah, but they can't, it doesn't matter. You didn't have them win another number one contenders match. There's a simple way to get them back on track if they're the team they want to put the belts on. No one knows if they want to be the team they want to put the belts on. Fatal Influence, I think, is earmarked for JC to win the main title, but the person to fight for the main title has a slight tear in her meniscus, so she's not working currently. So I think a lot of their momentum got stopped there because they were in a hot program there. So now they've been going back and forth with Paige and Brie, with one of them splitting singles matches each side. Fatal Influence will be fine. If they don't get the belts here, they'll at some point get them. It's easy to heat up talent and put them on a run right now. I see the point. I don't think it's any big concern right now. That's just me,
I think you can kind of recover it if you have JC win the title, because no offense to the other two, Lainey and Fallon are great. But if they lose here, they can sort of, because they're the background players for JC, they can take a little bit more than JC can, because you're building JC and they're really her supports. So I agree that you shouldn't have them lose too much here, But to be fair, it is the Bella Twins and Paige. It's not a bad thing if they lose here either. I wouldn't have them lose too much after that, though. Like, you're going to have them recover a win somehow. But, like, here, I think it's okay. Or you could just have them win. I mean, you could do that, too. Like, if you can't...
I'm not picking the win here.
Like, if you can't have JC get the title right now, another way to get around that is you have her sort of manage Lainey and Fallon until Rhea's back. Which... I'm not sure I'm cool. Like, I love Rhea, don't get me wrong, but, like, I'm not sure I'm cool with them, like, holding her out while she recovers, just because it's, like, if you're holding up the title program, I understand you want to have JC and Rhea go, but at the same time, if you're holding up JC for Rhea, you should just take the title off of her, well, and you can come back to it later, when Rhea's better.
Yes, but you can't really do that when you've kind of not had Liv defend for a couple months, so, and she's been healthy, so it's kind of weird. So you can't just, like, strip. It's weird, but I think they're waiting it out. They have stripped people for less, but I think they're just waiting this one out.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. There's one really famous one that they stripped her for a lot less, and it's kind of like, if they did that to her, they should maybe do that to Rhea.
Different company, different time. They're waiting this one out. I think they want to see how bad... I think they want to see if she recovers without needing to go under the knife. If rehab works. If rehab doesn't work, then coming out of whatever they're doing after SummerSlam, she'll probably be stripped of the belt. So she may be cleared enough for SummerSlam, and they start a program tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. But I'm picking the Bells and Paige. You're picking the Bells and Paige?
I'm picking Brie and Paige, yes.
All right. April, Fatal Influence? Most likely.
Wrestler 1.
That would be the champs retain. You were a tiny, tiny inch away from, or centimeter away from being Wrestler 3.
Damn it.
So close. It's basically almost on the line.
It's so close. Almost there, guys. Almost got it. I mean, I do have, like, technically one shot at it, but maybe not. Up next, we have Bayley versus Lyra Valkyria in a singles match. What the hell was going on with Lyra on Monday? Why did they dress her up like that?
She's gone insane.
I'm not sure I like the presentation of it.
I don't know. It was weird.
Like, I'm not sure I like that she's walking around like that.
So I got spoiled. Go ahead.
Like, and that's how they're presenting her. Go ahead.
I got spoiled on one thing on Monday about Raw. Because I accidentally opened up Instagram and saw a quick reel. Because I try to avoid everything about Raw. Because I was watching the Home Run Derby, which I did a pretty good job of not going on Twitter during it. So, go me. And I watched it afterwards. But I saw someone compared it to Nikki Cross. I was like, huh. Kind of looked like Nikki's old look a little bit from Sister Abigail. Just a tiny bit.
It was definitely reminiscent of it. I will give them that.
I don't know. I'll see how it plays out, where this goes, how far she goes. Interesting to see what the gear looks like on Saturday. As far as match results go, this one's the tricky one, because if you think about it in one way, Lyra should win to kind of shut Bayley at, but because that would kind of make her look more dominating, but then at the same time, Bayley winning would kind of push Lyra over the edge a little bit, which then has me thinking, well, this probably is not ending clean. This is probably, it could end in a DQ finish, because I think there are going to be more than just one match between the two. So a DQ finish would take it somewhere. Like, Lyra gets frustrated and she kind of snaps out on Bayley and just the ref calls for a DQ or something. That's kind of where the finish is in my head, I think. Because that would make the most sense. Because Lyra cheating to win doesn't kind of make sense. Some people think Taya made Night Debut side of Lyra since they both have that psycho mentality and were friends on NXT. Yeah, I could see that. Because there's the rumor of her coming up. But Tatum has kind of grown away from that mentality a little bit. Not much, but a little, because she became more of a star. I mean, I wouldn't mind Tatum paired with Lyra in that, but then Bayley needs someone else. And I don't know who you give Bayley right now. I don't know, what's your thoughts?
I don't think you need to have Lyra with anybody right now. Like, I think it's a good thought to have her and Tatum team at some point if the gimmick picks up. But I think to establish whatever Lyra's doing, you need to have her do it on her own. And it's kind of like almost Bailey and Lyra swapped mentalities a little bit, where Bailey was kind of going off the deep end there for a little bit, and then she befriended Lyra, and they were fine, and everything was fine, and Bailey was fine, and then now Lyra's kind of going a little nuts, or has gone nuts, depending how you want to view it, and Bailey's fine. So they've sort of switched places in that sense, and I don't know, I'm sorry, I just don't like it. I'm going to say it. I don't like it. I'm going to try to give it a chance. But she kind of came out Monday and they cut the promo on Monday and the promo was okay. But it's like her overall appearance was very distracting, because I think there's a lot of ways you could have her do the psycho mentality while still maintaining good hygiene.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
And that was my whole thing with it. Like, at least when they did it with, or this, they didn't do a psycho mentality, but at least when they did something like where Baron Corbin was down on his luck, right? You know, he had no money, so he couldn't necessarily take care of himself. And this is not an excuse, by the way, but it's like, at least there was some kind of explanation as to why he couldn't buy like new clothes, or he couldn't necessarily afford to wash his clothes, which was awful. But like with this, it's just the fact that she kind of walked out looking like she did. It's like, oh no, no, don't do her like that. No. Like, I think it would be more, they can't win the title. She's frustrated. She's kind of snapped a little bit, because that's the context of this, is she's like, she's stuck and she's frustrated and she's just sort of slipped over that deep end because of it. I think you could tell that story and portray that character a lot in a much more different way than what you're doing right now, especially if you could just have her be angry. Like, she's frustrated and she's angry, and she's, that side of her comes out. She's not the happy-go-lucky Lyra. She's the angry Lyra. And she's just, it's, I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm tired of playing nice. I'm tired of playing by the rules. Look where it's gotten me. Now I'm going to be selfish, and now I'm going to do this for me. And, you know, she looks at Bailey and it's like, you were supposed to help me and you ended up dragging me down. All of this, like this whole bad luck streak started because of you and Becky. But Bailey kind of coming into everything was sort of the start of Lyra's like descent.
Yeah.
Because she was riding on a high. She was the inaugural, you know, women's IC champion. Everything was going great. She was in a good feud with Becky. Bailey kind of rolled up, injected herself in the feud, and then Lyra, Becky, and Bailey all danced around for a while. And then Lyra and Bailey have been together, and it's been a very much decline for Lyra from that peak. And so it's, you know, I'm here right now. I'm in this place because of you. This is your fault. And you go from there.
You could do that.
I think that's a little bit better way to tell the story, but we'll see.
I'm going Bailey wins.
Yeah, I think I got to go Bailey winning. Like, I think Lyra has to be pushed more. I think she hasn't quite gone over that edge, although she's already done it once, but I think she can go a little bit deeper. And you just kind of have her destabilized more from the loss. Or it could just not start. Like, Lyra's to the point that, like, with the way that they're portraying her, that she just attacks Bailey and there is no bell.
I think it starts but ends in DQ.
Yeah, so I'm going Bailey. You're going Bailey. 8-ball. Lyra? Very doubtful.
Wrestler 2.
Lyra.
There you go.
And in your main event, because this won't be problematic at all, CM Punk and Cody Rhodes are taking on Gunther and Sami Zayn in a tag team match.
Can they coexist? By God. I don't mind it. I don't mind this tag match. This is what they should do more often, is get the big stars in tag matches on shows like this, because it's a big quality main event that you do once a month, where you pick two main eventers against two main eventers, and you kind of see where the cards fall. They used to do this a lot in the Attitude Era, in the mid-2000s, where you take the top guys and you put them together in big showcase tag matches. This should be a fun match. It's not a can they coexist type story, because we know Cody and CM Punk coexist, because they're not beefing the beef. They just both want to be champion. So at the end of the day, their common enemy is just to take out the two guys who have been causing them some issues. And that's what will probably happen. Nick Aldis is going to be somewhere steaming at home, because Gunther choked him out 3 times on SmackDown, which was fantastic. Setting up Gunther versus Nick Aldis, most likely at SummerSlam in Minnesota, which will be Nick Aldis' first match in many a year. But he's built like a brick house, and once the suit comes off, everyone will see how muscular the man is, and he may whoop up, do put a whooping on Gunther and then fall short, but that's for another show at another time. I don't think...
I mean, you can kind of tell he's jacked.
But you know what I mean. Yeah. I don't expect Aldis to get involved in this one. I think this is a clean win for the babyfaces. The heels do not need to win. The heels should not win this matchup because it does nothing but cause more situational problems if they do, because Gunther shouldn't be beating either one of these men right now since they're in the main event of SummerSlam. Sammy shouldn't beat one of them unless the idea is to make it a three-way, and I don't think it's a three-way. I don't think Sammy has a match at SummerSlam, which stinks, but I don't expect them to have one at this point, because then unless they do a three-way, which I don't think they're doing. But this will be your classic tag match, all-star style tag match, big moves, crowd goes crazy, Punk and Cody win, Punk and Cody stare down, one man holds up the title, the other stares him down. That's how you close out Saturday night's main event. It'll be a fun thing. It's nothing too serious. It's just the way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, if anything, I wouldn't mind if they use this as an opportunity to set up something for Sammy at SummerSlam, either to inject him into the Cody Punk match or to set up something with him and Gunther, because I don't think Gunther has anything to do either.
Aldis. So I think Gunther's Aldis.
Oh, that's right. Aldis. If they set that up. But if not, you could do Gunther and Sammy. But like, I would like to see Sammy, like, this just builds on Sammy's frustrations and he finds a way to get into the SummerSlam match because he is a man wronged.
And
right?
if he pins one of them, that gets him in. I don't know if they go that direction, but that's his only saving grace there, if he has to beat one of them.
Which he can do. We know he can do. Let's see, it's kind of crappy how they made Sammy look weak, where he didn't even come out to confront Punk and Cody or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, he did the social segment where he was complaining, but it's like, need to let Punk and Cody have their moment and set everything up.
They explained it. He had a mental health day. Like, he wanted a mental health vacation. They gave the story out for why he wasn't there. And if
so,
if you noticed that segment from SmackDown, Punk really, yeah, he was talking to Pierce. Pierce made a comment about it that he was on a mental health thing. And after the match was announced, I think it was the segment, Pierce was being yelled at by Sammy on the phone, and you're the one who wanted the mental health thing, and yada yada yada. That's why he wasn't there. If you notice the Punk segment from SmackDown where he's talking about all these people, he never really mentioned Cody. He was kind of trying to avoid Cody. It's just if you really paid attention, he said all these other people, Finn Balor and Gunther and all the names, but he never got to Cody. But Cody interjected himself into it. Punk seemed to be avoiding it. Just a little thing I picked up on. But anyway, I'm going Cody and Punk.
They're playing games. They're playing games. Anyway, yeah, I'm going Team Babyface. They're gonna win. There's no question. 8-Ball, Gunther and Sammy.
That was an emphatic no.
Yeah, definitely not.
Wrestler 2.
Heels though?
Oh, it's going Team Heel. Or the Last Good Guys, I guess. Team Last Good Guy.
Yes, the Last Real Good Guys, yeah. But anyway, that's our show.
That is our show. So you've got stuffs to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, another edition of CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, we build a SummerSlam. Tune in, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, we're back for the Raw Post Show. Sorry about Monday. I chose Home Run Derby, and boy, that was a hell of an event.
He doesn't love his chat.
The Philly crowd booing the other hitters when they went up against the Philly guys. Tremendous television. We're back Monday. We're all in to be talking about it. We'll be back next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern to talk Saturday night's main event at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network, at Rack Radio Show, on all social media platforms, wherever you get podcasts. Just search for the Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gamers, not Twitch Prime, just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or
Lynn's M Word
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy everything involving your hot Bat Summer. That's Batman, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and more. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimonLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.